Happy 2025. Welcome to the ESBS podcasts. My name is Melina Vega de Céniga. This is our first release this year, and it is a teaser of what will be coming throughout the year. Yes, this year we will address thoracic aortic pathology and management extensively in the ESBS podcasts, with a series encompassing the upcoming updated ESBS clinical practice guidelines on the management of descending thoracic aorta diseases and beyond. Left subclavian artery coverage or preservation during thoracic endovascular repair is a topic of ongoing debate, and it will be explored in depth in a specific podcast we are preparing. The short interview you're about to listen to was originally recorded during the 2024 Charing Cross meeting. We asked Dr. Vincent Jonkin, consultant vascular surgeon at Amsterdam University Medical Center in the Netherlands and treasurer of the ESBS, about LSA preservation. And here's what he said.
In the current guidelines, and they're actually already from a couple of years ago, but I think they're quite clear in advising to preserve the LSA if possible. So we're very eagerly awaiting the new guidelines, and they're at the moment of writing, and I hope they will be published very soon. So I'm very curious if there would be any change. But if you also look at guidelines from other organizations, they're actually all saying more or less the same, that in some circumstances it's really important. So if, for instance, if you have a CABG from the left subclavian artery, of course, then you have to absolutely preserve the left subclavian artery. But also in other instances, it's good to preserve the left subclavian artery.
So what are the primary complications associated with LSA coverage?
I think indeed if you look at the data that's out there, that if you cover the left subclavian artery, you take a risk of neurologic complications, be it spinal cord ischemia or be it stroke. What is actually very interesting is that quite often the risk of arm ischemia is not that high. It depends a bit on which cohort you're looking at. That tends to be not the biggest risk. If you look at the data that's out there, unfortunately, there are no randomized controlled trials to compare interventions in TEVA where they did revascularize the left subclavian artery or where they did not. So that always makes it a little bit more difficult. But we do have a lot of data, for instance, from the VQI. And what you see over there in that data is that actually preserving the left subclavian artery or revascularizing it really lowers down some very important complications, and especially neurologic complications. So that's both spinal cord ischemia and stroke risk is reduced if you preserve the left subclavian artery.
Right, then, what are the current options for LSA preservation?
Well, as being a vascular surgeon, I think a carotid subclavian bypass is one of the nicest procedures to perform, actually. It's really doing nice surgery, and the results are actually quite good. So the long-term results of a left subclavian bypass are good, but still we see some loss in patency. And I think particularly what you see is that you have the risk of a phrenic nerve injury. The risk is not particularly high, but still you see some percent of patients having that phrenic nerve injury. And what you have is, of course, the wound complications, you have the bleeding complications, and also the lymphatic problems you can have after doing that bypass. I think having an off-the-shelf endovascular solution for zone 2 really has some advantages, because you want to have a very low threshold for revascularizing the left subclavian artery. And with having an off-the-shelf solution, actually, it makes it very easy to preserve the left subclavian artery in all patients. That actually is recommended. If you would not have this off-the-shelf solution, either you have to order a custom-made graft well in advance, which comes with extra time and extra costs, or what you have to do is to do a two-stage procedure or a bigger operation in one time. So first you have to do then the endovascular procedure and then continue with an open surgical procedure to preserve the left subclavian artery, which I think at least lengthens the time of the surgery, but most probably will also increase the risk of the surgery.
Yes, there are several options available for LSA preservation: a carotid subclavian bypass, subclavian transposition, and several endovascular techniques, in-situ fenestration, single-branched endografts, or chimney snorkel or periscope parallel grafting. Each has its pros and cons, and we will address them extensively in a soon-to-be-released podcast. So, welcome 2025. Keep tuned. Talk to you soon.